Good evening and welcome to the Agar Meditation Group. I hope I'm audible. It's raining here in Bangalore, which also means that it's a time when we have to be very careful about how the power situation will be. So we have to be prepared for that adversity. So all those of you who are connected to network systems that are that may switch off if the power goes off or in Bangalore, please be careful. So I have an alternate power source here. So I hope you all have connected to that. So welcome once again. So we are having one session today, which is fundamentally the reason why we started Agar Meditations. We started Agar Meditation with the core reason that we had discovered the root cause of all sufferings, all illnesses existed in the mind. And we found that it's primarily emotion. It was primarily feelings. And it was primarily all the mental reasons why physical illnesses manifested. This is something that we believed in, and our work proved constantly that this was the reason why we all were sick for various reasons. And so we decided to start Agar Meditations so that we can directly heal pain. There might be so many people whom we might not meet, whom we might never meet in this lifetime, and yet who are going through tough, challenging situations, don't know whom to ask, don't know where to go, and we want them to have access to these healing modalities, how to heal pain, how to get rid of their sufferings. And there might be people who are really shy and who don't know whom to ask, and they must be able to get to some resource to help them get rid of pain. And that's the reason why we started Agar Meditation. I'm glad we have over 600 members. Not all of them are active, but at least we see that 5% of this group is active, which is pretty good considering the fact that the global average is 3%. So we are 2% more. So that's how that's how we started the Agar Meditation Group. And today we are revisiting healing pain. But then we want to make sure that everybody understand what this pain is all about and how it is possible for us to heal this pain. That's the reason why we are revisiting this session, about pain. Of course, the understanding that comes out of our experience each time is slightly more enriched from our experience, and we share these experiences with you so that you too can be the top of this knowledge of healing. So pain is man's oldest friend. In fact, what the sages have told is that man suffers from his ability to amplify pain. Human being, rather, suffers from this ability to amplify pain. And what we mean by amplifying pain is that once we experience pain, we do not look for opportunities or possibilities to resolve this pain, nor do we forget this pain. What we end up doing is primarily look at the pain and try and identify with this pain. So my pain, my hand is paining, my head is paining, my heart is aching, and my situation is so worse. We try to quantify, we try to amplify this suffering. We try to do this primarily with the objective of garnering others' attention towards our pain. And when we want to share this pain, the only intention is to make our suffering more intense. We believe that when people pay attention to our pain, then the pain will find its resolution. On the contrary, when we share this pain, the only thing that happens is that we end up befriending this pain. We'll start looking for this pain in other places, and we begin to very quickly associate and attach ourselves to this pain, because the amount of pleasure and attention this pain brings, happiness cannot bring. And so we try and befriend this pain. We associate ourselves with this pain. We get attached to this pain, and we unconsciously look for more painful situations. Pain is more familiar to us than happiness. So pain is more familiar to us than happiness. And that's the reason why human beings have so many more painful situations than every other living being on this planet. It's not that other beings do not suffer from pain. They also experience pain, but they take pain as in an equal stride as other emotions and feelings that they go through. But human beings specifically, we amplify our pain, but we do not try to live that happy moment. Happiness cannot be amplified. Joy cannot be amplified. It is quite intense. It is so intense that it just overshadows mind. But when it comes to pain, mind finds itself in pain. And that's the reason the mind tries to amplify pain. And so there are definite methods to overcome pain, whether it is physical, mental, emotional, or any other. There are definite methods to identify this pain and to resolve this pain. And that's what we have always been sharing. Today we'll be sharing a few practices that we can do which can help us mitigate or lessen the effect of pain. So welcome to Agar Meditations once again. And now let us start, like every other time, with the practice which helps us connect to the core of our existence. And this practice is the maypole. Let's start this practice. For those of you who are new to this practice, let me just tell you a brief about what this is. This practice is one to connect with our higher consciousness. The higher consciousness, we call it higher consciousness primarily because this is the non-judgmental part of our existence. We have an aspect of our existence, a vibrational frequency where we can live, which is beyond judgment, which is pure love, pure joy. It is us in a higher frequency, a higher plane of awareness. Now, the maypole is a practice that was taught to me by one of the ladies who practiced it for over 77 years. I was fortunate to learn from her when she was 99 years old. And she taught this practice with the sole intention that as many people as possible can take this practice with them and can learn to rise above all sufferings, whether it is we're self-made or whether it is something that comes from others. And that's how this practice has come to you. So now we will start this practice. So there are a few disciplines to this practice. If you are sitting on a couch, make sure that you come to the edge of the couch where the knees are at the lower height than the hips. If you're sitting on a chair, make sure that your backrest, you're not supporting your back on the backrest of the chair. Move away from the backrest and keep your back straight. If you're sitting on the ground, make sure that you're not using the wall as a back support. So you can sit on a stack of pillows or blankets so that your hips are raised and your back is straight. So these are the few disciplines that we follow. And maypole is a very powerful practice which really can uplift anyone from the deepest and the darkest spaces of one's existence. So let us begin. You can simply try and follow these guidelines without throwing much ado about it. Think, imagine, visualize, or feel that you are sitting in the center of a golden circle of light. The size of this circle is as wide as your outstretched arms with fingers extended. In front of you, think, imagine, visualize, or feel a tall pole with many different colored ribbons hanging from a sphere at the top, which represents your higher consciousness. You can replace the sphere with any name and form of God or Guru whom you worship. In your inner scene, see yourself getting up from your seat, walking up to this pole, and hold on to a ribbon of whatever color that appeals to you. And walk back to your seat, connected by this ribbon, as if it were a telephone connection between you and your higher consciousness. Now, ask your higher consciousness to send to you, through the ribbon, its relaxing energies. Breathe it in. As you breathe out, let go of any restlessness, any anxiety, any sufferings that you may be carrying in any part of you, whether it is physical, mental, emotional, or any other, for 2 to 3 breaths. Now, ask your higher consciousness to send to you through the ribbon its healing energies. We all need healing, whether it is physical, mental, emotional, or any other. Breathe in this healing energy and breathe out any pain or distress that you may be carrying in any part of you, whether it is physical, mental, emotional, or any other, for 2 or 3 breaths. Now, ask your higher consciousness to send to you through the ribbon its cleansing and purifying energies. Cleansing and purifying energies. Breathe it in. As you breathe out, let go of any negative memories, negative thoughts, negative feelings, negative experiences, any negative judgments that you may be carrying in any part of you, for 2 or 3 breaths. Now, ask your higher consciousness to send to you through the ribbon its strengthening energies. Breathe it in. As you breathe out, let go of any fatigue, any tiredness, or even a sense of weakness that you may be carrying in any part of you for 2 or 3 breaths. Now, ask your higher consciousness to send you through the ribbon its unconditional love, which is completely accepting and non-judgmental. Breathe in this divine love. As you breathe out, let go of everything that prevents you from receiving this precious gift. Let go of any guilt, a sense of low self-worth, low self-esteem, or anything else that you wish to release. Come back to conscious awareness and open your eyes when you're ready. There are 2 kinds of pain. The first is the physical pain, which primarily happens due to injury. You hit yourself against a piece of furniture, you hit yourself against some door, or you got involved in an accident, or you had a surgery. Physical pain can always be remedied with the help of medicines. But then we have another pain, which is emotional or psychological pain. And this pain is something that has to be addressed differently. There are people who do not let others know of their emotional and psychological pain. They suffer silently with a smile on their face. But there are others who expect other people to understand their situation, who want others to share the pain. And there are still others who are looking desperately for a resolution, desperately looking for help, but are unable to find it. So there are so many types of people with so much of pain. And pain is something that we all identify with very well, more than the way we identify with joy. The only reason is that we expect. Expectation causes us to experience pain. You expect someone to understand you. You expect someone to respect you. You expect someone to be loving to you. You expect someone to behave in a particular way. With this expectation, one is that our expectations are not fulfilled, and so we become victims of pain. And the other instance, we judge people because of our expectations which were left unfulfilled, and so we become victims of our own judgment, which again causes pain. Many people, they befriend pain to an extent that begin to derive pleasure out of it. One of the methods is to act depressed. In my experience, when I have seen people during my consultations, when I told them that you are so depressed, and they smile out of pleasure. They love their state of depression. They wouldn't want to work with themselves because depression gives them so much attention. So pain slowly starts attracting attention, and you're surrounded with people who actually provide sympathy to you with something that you look forward to unconsciously. There are people who simply don't like pain. They want to resolve the pain and bounce back to life, but that's a minuscule margin, which is single digit percentage. But most people love pain and love the attention that it brings along with it. And because we befriend pain, pain itself begins to aggravate and create symptoms of its own. And that's where the problem lies. Anger, for example, can cause migraines, can cause gallbladder stones, can cause radiating neurological pains, it can cause cancerous tumors, it can cause ovarian cysts, it can cause hyperacidity, acid reflux, it can cause H. pylori, it can cause duodenal and peptic ulcers, it can also cause typhoid, jaundice, it can cause glaucoma, and several other symptoms. It can also cause tinnitus, ringing in the ear. So many symptoms are caused by emotion, anger. It's not that anger is something that is causing, but it's our attachment to anger that causes the problems. Anger is an extremely powerful emotion, which is why I tell people that anger is so precious that if you really value yourself, use it extremely sparingly. Do not use anger unless you absolutely must. But this precious emotion is also available to us all the time, and so we end up using it carelessly, and we fall prey to it, to the intensity of the emotion. Sadness or sorrow is another emotion which can cause debilitating symptoms like pneumonia. It can also cause benign tumors. It can cause depression. It can cause fungal infections in the body. It can cause so many problems in the body that can debilitate us. Again, sadness is a very powerful emotion which when positioned properly, can help us serve people. Compassion is born out of sadness. If you did not have sadness, you wouldn't be compassionate towards the suffering. However, the sadness should not be born out of expectation. If it is born out of expectation, then you will try to help people because you are expecting them to appreciate you. When that appreciation doesn't come, your sadness amplifies. And this is the reason why we have to work with our emotions, work with all that we have misunderstood, misplaced, which today has manifested itself as symptoms. These symptoms could be small, it could be big, they could be transient, or they could be chronic and acute. No matter what the nature of this emotion is, and no matter how the intensity is, it just gives us the scope and opportunity for us to address it so we can live better. And that's the reason why we come back to this session revisiting pain ever so often. So there are a few practices that we can do when we experience pain. Pain caused by separation of a loved one. These are practices. There are practices that we can do to reduce our attachment to people. Now, this is something that I want all of you to understand. Attachment does not contain love. Attachment is born out of the fear of separation. When we love somebody, then we begin to long for that person's company. We want it to last longer. And so the fear of separation is born. And with this fear of separation, we begin to get attached. So simple things like marriage. Marriage primarily is born out of the need to understand one's own self by reflecting through another person whom we call our partner or our spouse. However, the whole understanding of marriage has been manipulated to showcase that you are trying to understand your partner. It's absolutely impossible for you to understand your partner. The whole concept of marriage is for reflection. And when you use your partner as a mirror, then here is an opportunity for you to grow, which is why the whole idea of marriage being the shortcut to self-realization is born out of. But we do not use marriage as a stepping stone to self-realization. We use marriage to try and get the other person to understand us, and we try to understand the other person. But either way, the only thing that results is amplified amounts of sadness, sorrow, anger, and other emotions which are undesirable. And so we must try and reduce our attachment. When we reduce attachment, it causes love to blossom. And love is freedom. And freedom is responsible, which means that freedom blossoms everywhere. It is unconditional. And freedom responds to every situation in a positive light. And that's what we will practice today. A simple thing, simple practice, for example, the maypole. The maypole is one practice which helps us experience love. So now we will try and share this love. The simple way of doing this is to do it in a way that the unconscious memory understands. The unconscious does not understand words or phrases. The unconscious understands images, colors, which is why when people are angry, they associate with darker colors. When people are sad, they associate with darkness, darker colors. People who are depressed don't like light, they like darkness. People who are angry, they usually associate themselves with darker colors such as red and orange. But when people are happy, they associate themselves with brighter colors. So that's how the unconscious behaves. So now let us try and share the love that we have. We all are beings of love. Love cannot go anywhere. It is very much within us, but it is overshadowed by our pleasures, our pains, and our sufferings. And that's why love seems so little and pleasure and pain seems so large, so huge. So now let us try to explore this love and share it with other people. Here is a simple experiment that we all can do. I would want you to think, imagine, visualize a relative or a friend or an acquaintance whom you judge to be always angry, upset, unhappy with himself or herself. Think, imagine, visualize a friend, a relative, or an acquaintance who you believe is angry, upset, or unhappy. It could be a family member, it could be an extended family member. And now I want you to think, imagine, visualize, or feel that you are standing or sitting in the center of a huge garden full of fresh, fragrant, colorful, blossomed flowers. The unlimited number of fresh, fragrant, blossomed, colorful flowers. And visualize this person standing in front of you, or maybe even sitting in front of you. So in your inner scene, I want you to just expand your hands, open your arms, and just take a deep breath and collect as many flowers as you can, as many colorful, blossomed, fresh, fragrant flowers, as many of them. Just suck them with your breath. Let them all come between your two hands. And as you breathe out, I want you to just send these flowers. Imagine there's no gravity. Imagine these flowers, they're just floating. Send these flowers to this person whom you believe is unhappy, angry, upset. Go on sending these flowers for at least 15 breaths, 15 exhalations. With every inhalation, accumulate these flowers. With every exhalation, send these flowers to this person. Love kills attachment. Love kills pain. Love cures suffering. Now open your eyes and revisit the scene, revisit the same person, and check what is the emotion on the person's face. Is the person still angry, upset, or does the person's emotion seem different? Did any of you feel a shift in the way the emotions felt? The other person, on the other person's face? If you did, you can say yes with a show of your hand. Very good. Most of the time, we are just victims of our own judgment. This is something that we must all imagine. We must remember, we were all victims of our own judgments. Who choose to be the way they are for reasons unknown to themselves at times. People are angry and upset for reasons that is beyond their ability to comprehend, but they are simply not able to come out of the situation, and then they begin to exhibit that emotion that they are carrying through their interactions with other people. And these people can be from your professional life, they can also be your relatives, friends, or acquaintances. But that does not have to shake you. It does not have to shake you off your state of tranquility. You can continue to exist in your state of tranquility by just observing that this person chooses or is a victim of his own thinking or his own memory. It's got nothing to do with you. For many people, you will see that when people are affected by emotions, and when they have calmed down and you approach them and ask them what was the reason that they were upset, many people are unable to identify with their state of suffering. They do not simply are unable to understand what caused their suffering. There are times when they manipulate and they fabricate a reason, but mostly people are unaware what caused their suffering. And this is the reason why I tell people that do not try to judge other people's behavior. It's because they are victims of their own thinking. They are victims of their own judgments. It's got nothing to do with you. So when people are even taking your name and are being nasty when they are raising their voice and using their words, you can still observe and say, that's not me they're talking about. It's how they perceive me. This is how they choose to be, which is absolutely okay. It's absolutely okay because that's how they choose to be. It's got nothing to do with you. But when you try to identify with what they said, then you begin to own the perception that they are withholding within themselves. And this perception itself is formed from their ignorance. That makes two people suffering. Which is why it is important for us to practice ending the suffering from our side so we can return to love. I was narrating to somebody today about various experiences of how suffering in the mind manifested itself as physical illnesses and at times even terminal illnesses. And that's the reason why it is so important for us to end suffering in our minds, in our emotions, as quickly as possible so that we can heal the body. The body is a tool that is given to us to realize our own divinity. Who am I? Where did I come from? Where am I going? What is the reason for me to exist here? All these answers require us to reflect. And unless we are separated from the source, we cannot reflect. And that's why the human body. And with that reflection comes all the answers that we are seeking. Where the self reflects itself through an alternate reality, which is the I, me, myself, the body, mind, ego that we are living. We use this identification by separating ourselves from the source. And when we identify with ourselves, we identify with everything that goes on within this body, mind, ego, and with the one purpose of reflecting to realize our true selves. And for that reason, we must not lose this physical body even before we have learned what we have come to learn, which is why this healing is so required. Whether you are young or old, we all are here for the same purpose. How we do it is different. Some of us are bankers, some of us are doctors, lawyers, engineers, or we are simply academicians. Whatever profession you are, that's the path that you take to work on this reflection. How you do it is different, but what for you're doing is the same. And that's the reason why we have to maintain this body for as long a time as possible and not let it fall off. And that's the reason why all the healing. There are other methods of healing. For example, we have migraine. Migraine typically are of three types. The one that comes at the crown of the head, where looking at light or hearing, listening to sounds makes the migraine worse. And this is born out of anger. Then we have migraines which come at the back of the head, where sleeping makes it worse. Light is something that you love when you have this kind of a headache. And this is born out of indigestion, indigestion of thoughts, indigestion of food. And then we have another one which constantly shifts. That migraine is not intense, but it is nagging, which is born out of excessive movement, excessive travel, inadequate sleep. And these are migraines which are the easiest to deal with. Marma Chikitsa is one of the methods in Ayurvedic body of knowledge which is used to treat migraines quite effectively. In fact, within 2 to 3 minutes, the person is able to completely get rid of migraines. Apart from that, in this method of meditation and healing, migraine is one of the things that we can deal with. So here is one simple practice that we can do. This is a practice that I'm sharing with you after a very long time. Many of you might not have heard this, but this is a very effective practice which is mentioned in the Gyanakanda Samhita, which is one of the yoga texts, traditional yoga texts. So I'm sharing this technique with you, which is something that I researched upon many years ago. If any of you have any pains in your body, are there people here who are experiencing any kind of pain right now? Okay. If you have any kind of pain, physical pain, this is a practice for you. I would want you to just close your eyes and take your mind to that place of pain, wherever that is, whether it's in your back, in your head, in your neck, in your shoulders, wherever this pain is. As you take your mind, your awareness to this pain, you will actually see that the pain amplifies. And now I want you to focus on your breathing. As you breathe in, think, imagine, visualize, or feel that you are breathing in a fishing net. You're breathing in a fishing net. As you breathe in, draw a slow, long breath, as long as you can, and draw this fishing net and take this net to the area of the pain and encapsulate the pain, catch the pain in the fishing net. And as you breathe out, bring out the fishing net along with the pain. You may have to do this several times. Breathe in, imagining this fishing net, fish the pain, and as you breathe out, draw out the fishing net along with the pain. Do this several times. Just like you send the flowers, do this for about 7 to 8 respirations. And now come back to conscious awareness and go back to that area of pain. Has the pain receded? Has its intensity reduced? If yes, show your hand. But if it hasn't, excellent. Excellent. You see, healing primarily is just the removal of our attachment to pain. It's very simple. It's extremely simple. All that we have to do is to constantly focus on removing our attachment to pain, because that is something that the mind associates with so quickly. And that's what we have to constantly attempt. So whatever the nature of this pain, it could be a terminal symptom, it could be anything, but focus on making the present moment better. I wouldn't want you to do your healing and then go back and get a test done to verify whether it has actually worked. That's not the way to do it. The way to do it is to just work upon healing yourself. In fact, this is one of the experiences that doctor shared with me. He visited US America, and there was a person who visited this doctor and said, "I want you to visit my home. This is important for you and for me." The doctor was intrigued by the request, and so he visited the person's home. He found this beautiful house with a waterfall, with a lot of vegetation inside the house, with the air so fresh. It was so beautiful. And the person handed over a file to the doctor and said, "Please look at this." The doctor looked at the file, and then his appreciation of the house and the vegetation and the waterfall quickly changed into despair, to something very serious. His face looked so pained and so devoid of joy, and eyes were sunken. So he looked at this person and he said, "What happened?" And the person said, "Sir, you have done the same mistake which all the other doctors did." He asked, "What is it?" He said, "You have not looked at the date." So the file was that of a cancer patient. The date was 10 years back dated. And the doctor looked aghast and asked him, "How did this happen? How is it that you cured your suffering?" And the person said, "I just simply changed the way I lived. I started identifying with sunrise, with flowers, with birds and butterflies, and with the fresh air, and with all that nature provided, and stopped identifying with all the suffering that my job brought, that my relationships brought in. I simply let all of them be, and I started identifying with all that nature has provided." And the doctor had given him a 3-month survival date, and as he started identifying with all the beauties of nature, the 3 months passed, 6 months passed, years passed. It was 10 years, and this person had no sign of any illness. And this particular anecdote was shared by the very doctor who visited this person in USA. And that's how healing happens. I personally have witnessed so many places, so many instances where people have been instantly relieved of their suffering. In my own office, I haven't started my work and their necrosis of the hip has been instantly healed. I've witnessed it firsthand. And that's why I'm telling you that it's important for us to identify with joy, with love, instead of identifying ourselves with pain. Are there any questions? Are there any questions? So I've just shared with you one method to remove physical pain and a method to ease mental suffering. There are unquantifiable practices that we can do, but you don't have to look at all the practices that are there. You can just hold on to one and just keep practicing it, and it will bear the result that you're looking for. It will reconnect you back to the source, reconnect you back to joy and love. Your present moment will become better. The present will become perfect, where you will be removed from your sorrow, your apathy, your anger, the state of lack of love, and love will be restored to you. The present moment will become better. It's always better to smile, it's always better to laugh, because the present is perfect. It's the continuum when we look, when we connect several moments, that brings us all the worry. It brings us all the pains. But the present is always perfect. So each one of us is just living the present moment, a perfect moment. It's something that we created. It is the result of how we thought life should be. And when you don't like it, then you can change it. The only way to change it is to change it is to restore love, is to smile, is to help someone. And helping someone does not mean to listen to their sad stories. Helping someone is like feeding the hungry. It's to hold, giving a helping hand. It's to support in whatever way you can without identifying with their suffering. When you do that, then life will be beautiful. So I have a question here which says that, how many times can I practice the physical pain healing? Why do you believe that you need to practice it more than once? There will be a residual effect which will go away, but you can practice more number of times. But when you have to do it now, do it with all your heart. Do it with all your heart so that you are instantly healed. Like I told you, healing is simply stopping identifying with your pain, pulling yourself back, bring yourself back to a state of love. And when you do that, healing happens instantly. Healing doesn't take time. It is the resistance in our head which causes us to experience healing slowly. Healing by itself is instantaneous. When you smile at someone and the other person instantly smiles, there's no thought which separates the two of you. But when you frown at someone, or when you look at someone seriously, then there is a thought. Why is this person staring at me? But when you smile at someone, if the smile is genuine from the heart, there is no barrier. The other person simply responds with another smile. It's instantaneous. Healing is like that. So I want you to practice this as many times as you can. And a word of caution, when we experience healing, it is natural for us, or rather a habit, to want others to be healed as well. Please do not step into others' shoes. Practice being healthy, physically, mentally, emotionally. When you're happy, the ones who are happy will naturally gravitate towards you. And the ones who genuinely want to get rid of their unhappiness will find you. So please do not try and spread this word saying that I know how to get you out of sadness. Don't. You never know. Some people just want to be in that sadness for reasons best known to them. So work on yourself, be happy, so that wherever you see, you just see the spark of divinity inside all beings, instead of identifying with the suffering and pain that they have put up like a cloak upon themselves. Thank you very much for today's session. We have opened up by 10 minutes, but I hope it has brought value to you, it has taught you something to you. Thank you very much for attending today's session. Let's meet again next Saturday. Until then, have a beautiful weekend and have a beautiful week.